Terry Branch, another hour with the Mike Smith Show presented by Superior Plumbing. And don't forget Superior Plumbing, the honest plumber at 770-422-PLUM. Coming up, Jonathan Babineau and our Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight as well. All coming up here with Dave Archer and the head coach of the Falcons, Mike Smith, with us as always in our first half hour. 30-20, the final yesterday in Charlotte. The Panthers at one point led 23-0. Atlanta almost got the daggone thing to one possession. And then at the end, the Panthers got a late score on a D'Angelo Williams touchdown of 53 yards to get them the working margin, and ultimately it ended up 10. Smitty, I know after the ball game, disappointed, frustrated, probably the first two words that come to mind with some others. Your team has got to be bouncing back, and the resilience factor you talk about all the time may be no more important this week than any other week during the season, I guess.
Yeah, we did not play very good football yesterday. Probably the least productive we've been all season long, and we've got to put it behind us. We've got to make the corrections. We did that in our meetings today. The guys were in for meetings today, and we went through that process, and now we've got to flush that out and get ready for the New York Giants. The thing that is a positive is these guys have done a very nice job since we've been here in terms of not losing back-to-back games, and to me, that says a lot about your makeup, and I'm looking forward to seeing these guys on the field on Wednesday.
Smitty, I got to, you know, looking down on the field, I got to thinking to myself, I didn't recognize anybody that was wearing a Falcon jersey or uniform. It just didn't look like the team we'd seen for the first 12 weeks of the season. Is there ever a time, and I know there's ebb and flows of games, is there ever a time in a game where you sense we're flat today? We've got to do something to do. What do you do to jar something like that loose?
Oh, obviously, we were not mentally or physically ready to play that football game. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, that's my responsibility as the head coach to get those guys ready to go. And there's things that you have to do. And one of the things that we did is we felt like, hey, we need to jump into our no huddle offense. And I thought we did it effectively in the second half, not as effective as we would have liked to in the first half. But I think after the guys had an opportunity to come in and talk calmly with the coaches at halftime, that we would hopefully get a little different outcome there in the second half. And we did some good things. We just ended up falling short. We gave up those two explosive touchdowns, the 72-yard run and the 40-yard screenplay after a third and nine stop with a penalty, which was, you know, a critical penalty in the ball game yesterday. But those are the things that we've got to get corrected, and we will.
It was interesting. I want to discuss third down here a little bit in two areas. One, you talk about giving up a play after the third and nine scenario. Third downs for the defense and third downs for the offense. It's become really kind of a point of frustration, particularly offensively here the last couple of ball games. Anything jump off the page to you to say, hey, wait a second, maybe we're not getting something done here in particular, that you've been so successful on third down here for some reason the last couple of games, it just seems to be a down of frustration?
Well, we need to make it a down of conversion for sure. And it's such a fine line. And sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's mental. You know, oftentimes guys don't realize the importance, and the fans don't realize the importance that if a route needs to be run five steps and break out or break in, you've got to go five steps, break out and break in, because the quarterback's expecting you to be at a specific spot. And it's routes that are thrown on time. There were a couple of instances yesterday where we weren't in sync. And when you get out of sync, it just takes a little bit. A minute amount, and you don't connect on those plays. And then defensively, the third down efficiency, we really struggled yesterday getting off the field on third down. We had way too many third and twos and third and threes, which are advantageous towards the offense. But there were a couple of, you know, third and 11s, we give up a 14-yard scramble. Third and seven, we give up a 10-yard scramble. Those are things that we've got to do better. And some of it was physical, some of it was mental. So everybody's been contributing. And again, hey, there were some plays that as a coaching staff, I know we wanted to have back as well. It's not just, you know, it's just not the guys out there playing. We're all part of it.
Head coach Mike Smith's show here on Sports Radio 790 Zone West Durham, Dave Archer. Smitty, it almost seems like from a Carolina perspective, this might have been a perfect scenario for them. You come off with a big win over New Orleans, had a little bit extra time to get ready to go, but they come in with a different style of offense, and so you've got to get ready for the quarterback being a major part of what they do. It looked like early that might have been a problem from a leverage on the ball standpoint, reading it properly, maybe the edge defender or a linebacker who had responsibility for different guys. That was something that looked like you maybe ironed out until Cam Newton made the long run.
Yeah, we did not start out well. They started the game on that first drive. The screen passes were a big part of it. I think they had three screens and a reverse in the first drive of eleven plays. Mm-hmm. And they were running the read option, and then the second drive was 17 plays, and those were that was the drive where we got into those third and shorts and weren't able to get off the field. Thankfully, we held them to a field goal. That was probably, if you had to say, Coach, what did you do well defensively when they got in the red zone, we were able to hold them to field goals. But we did not operate and play up to our standards yesterday. And they played better, and they were the better team yesterday. There in Charlotte.
Is this a situation, Smitty, where you just go back and you just go back to the package and say, okay, we know we can play better. Let's just refine the package. Let's polish up and get back in the action. Or is there something, a couple areas of real concern that you'd like to address this week?
There's not really areas that are real concern, because there was a number of things that we were just not synced in,
right?
And we've got to work on that, and it's the fine line stuff, and that's the difference between winning and losing in the NFL. It's not a big gap, it's a small gap, and everybody's got to realize that, hey, it's a game of inches, and I know it's a cliche, but it's a game of inches, and you don't run a route to a certain depth and the quarterback's expecting you, it's 3 or 4 inches off. If you don't line up defensively in the right place where you're supposed to be, in inside shade or an outside shade, to have that leverage, and you're 6 inches off and you lose that leverage, especially when you're playing a read option team, they're going to have a chance to make some plays. We've just got to get back and focus in on making sure that we're doing the little things right. We got to do the little things right.
Fundamental things like tackling, other things, that comes through the week, I guess, leading up to it, especially in a week where, you know, as you were mentioning, there were a handful of plays where you could have made a play maybe to get a guy stopped on third down. They wiggled free, that kind of thing.
Yes. The basics, and it usually comes down to when you don't win the ball game. Mm-hmm. It comes down to tackling, blocking, throwing, mm-hmm. catching. I mean, really, that's what it comes down to.
As players, and I can only speak to this as a player, and I'm going to ask you, do you believe in this? I think as players, you can get a little fat and sassy and feel a little bit good about yourself. And even though this is a mature football team, is there a sense of a slap in the face scenario where you get slapped here? And this was a hard slap. This was a team that that hit you pretty hard, that might jar you in the direction you'd like the team to go.
Well, we certainly hope it does. I think it's a realization that we've got to go out and we've got to play our best football. It doesn't really matter, and I know the guys know it, and I know that they've heard it over and over and over. You've got to go out and play your best. If you don't, any team in this league not only can beat you, but they can beat you bad. And I think you see it, you know, week in and week out in the NFL, because it's such a close competitive league.
Super Bowl champion New York Giants are going to be here on Sunday. It's a 1 o'clock start, and AT&T's countdown to kickoff starts our coverage here on 790 The Zone at 11 o'clock from the floor of the Georgia Dome. You touched on this in the media comments, and I'm going to ask you to kind of tell the part again about how, you know, William Moore did not play. Asante Samuel was active, did not play. You found yourself dealing, again, a little bit like we talked a couple of weeks ago when Samuel went out, you found yourself dealing in some unique numbers and combinations there. But you're also bigger picture, I guess, on some of this too. Samuel would have been okay had you gotten into an emergency situation. Is that the way you feel
about it? Yes, it was a little different situation in terms of putting your 46-man roster together that you have to do each week. We felt like Asante could play if it was an emergency situation or if there was a little different scenario in terms of where we are as a football team.
Right.
You know, the doctors said that he was ready to go, but it would be in his best interest that if we could give him another week's rest, that it would help, help him in his rehabilitation. And that's the decision that we made. We did not want to go into the game with just seven defensive backs. If you had an injury, you would be out of a certain number of packages. And if you had two injuries, we would have been out of basically all of our substitution packages where we're playing with five or more defensive backs. So we went into this game saying if we had to put Asante in, it would be because we lost two DBs.
Does Carolina's numbers skew that 46? We've touched on this before. Sometimes that's a hard thing to do, is to get that 46 right, isn't it, Coach?
Oh, it is. It's it's one of the discussions that start on Tuesday as a staff, and sometimes it's a long discussion. It has something to do with the type of team you're playing,
right?
And it also has something to do with the health of your football team, and it also can be determined by the personnel packages that you're going to present offensively and the ones that you think you're going to get defensively. And we felt like we were going to get some 11 personnel, three wideout personnels against Carolina, and that's why we went ahead and made the call to go with Asante on the active roster but not have him play unless it was an emergency.
All right, we'll take a break, come back. More with Coach, and we get ready for the Giants here on Sunday as well. Another team with a lot of weapons. We'll talk about both sides of the ball from Tom Coughlin's club and more. Don't forget, you can text your questions to our player guest, Jonathan Babineaux, U.S. Auto Sales. You tell us, text line at 77530. Stay tuned.
Just inside the near hash, Ryan on a straight drop. Matt looks, throws, backside, White all alone. Touchdown, Atlanta. He pulled Thomas Davis all the way across the field. And Roddy White's got his fifth touchdown catch of the year.
Get coverage of every NFL team from your smartphone. To get NFL Mobile, call Star NFL to get it now. NFL Mobile, only from Verizon.
We're back at Flowery Branch, the Mike Smith Coaches Show, presented by Superior Plumbing, the honest plumber at 770-422-PLUM. Coming up, Jonathan Babineaux in the Buckhead Beef Player Spotlight at the bottom of the hour. Falcons and Giants is Sunday at 1 o'clock, and our AT&T countdown to kickoff starts at 11 with Chris Domino on the floor of the Georgia Dome here in Atlanta. Even though they're not in your division, they are in your conference. And because of the playoff game a year ago, Coach, I would suspect there is a certain degree of familiarity with what the Giants are as you get ready for your preparation this week.
Yes, very familiar with them. Have a lot of respect for Coach Coughlin and what he's done there with the Giants. Two Super Bowls in the last 4 years. He's one of the elder statesmen in terms of coaches, and does an outstanding job, and he's got his guys playing very good football. They always seem to start playing good in December. Sometimes they have to, and this year is another year that is the case, and they've really played good football the last 2 weeks.
Smitty, when you look at the Giants, I think the first thing that jumps off the page for the fan is that obviously their ability to rush the passer. They've got guys that seem to line up in all four positions when you get in a pass situation where they come after you. What do you do? What's a generic way of getting after a team that's a pass rush team? Is it an early down pass scenario? Do you have to run the foot? Probably a mix of a lot of things.
Yeah, I think you have to do a lot of things in terms of trying to slow that pass rush down, and there's a number of ways that you can do it. First is get your run game going and try to slow those guys down up front. Perry Fuel does a very good job, though, with that defense. He has a great rotation with the defensive line. The guy that's physically the most impressive is Jason Pierre-Paul. Mm-hmm. He can, you know, he can flat do some amazing things athletically, you know, it's a group that plays with a lot of confidence, and when they get rolling, they're as good as any defense in the NFL.
It's fascinating to kind of watch them play a little bit in terms of the personality they have, and I use the term personality as opposed to personnel, because the personnel is a varying quotient. I mean, they had one ball game, Ramsey's Barden just went off in terms of catching the ball. Last night, David Wilson scored a couple of different ways. But those aren't the household names. It's usually Hakeem Nicks. It's Victor Cruz. It's Ahmad Bradshaw. Andre Brown, when he was healthy, was starting to kind of come into his own. But their playing personality doesn't deviate regardless of the personnel, does it, Smith?
No, it doesn't. They're gonna be able to run the football. They want to be able to run the football. I think that's at the core of what Coach Coughlin believes. Mm-hmm. And then they also have a great quarterback, Trigger Man and Eli Manning. He can move the ball around the field with the short and intermediate passing game, and he also throws a very good long ball. He's Super Bowl MVP, Super Bowl winning quarterback, and he's got lots of weapons. The receiver that everybody talks about is Victor Cruz, but there's some other guys that can do some damage as well. You know, Victor Cruz has already got 1,000 yards in receptions and nine touchdowns. You know, Hakeem Nicks has been banged up a little bit, but they've got other guys that can step in. They show their depth of their football team almost each and every week on both sides of the ball. And I was really impressed watching tape of Wilson in terms of his ability to return kickoffs, and he got an opportunity to run the football some last night.
Smitty, Eli Manning, a guy, obviously you get a veteran quarterback that's had the battles that he's had and his success. Obviously you got to mix things up on the guy, doing things from a coverage standpoint, from a pressure standpoint, and a mix of both. When you look at their offensive line and some of the issues they had up front, is this the same football team you saw in January a year ago, or have some of the injuries depleted them a little bit up front?
Well, it's not the same personnel, but it's the same system. Eli's got a lot of flexibility to get in and out of plays based on what the defense shows. So I think it's going to be very important. It'll be a chess game between Coach Nolan and our defensive players in terms of moving around, and especially in those passing situations. You know, we want to fight like crazy to get them to third down and then go win third down. We need to do it much better than we did yesterday. But you know, we talk about third downs, and we put a lot of importance on it. It's points is the number one thing that we talk about on defense. The second is turnovers, and then the third is third down efficiency, because third down efficiency is almost just like a turnover. You're getting the ball back when you stop somebody on third down. And we need to be better against Eli than we were yesterday against the Carolina Panthers, and we're going to have to do some different things. You just can't line up and show them the same look.
We're talking about the defensive side of the ball for the Giants a moment ago. You mentioned Pierre-Paul, Tuck, Umanyora. The names of familiarity are there from year after year. The interesting name, and a guy who had an interception for him yesterday that I find curious, is this Stevie Brown playing safety.
Yeah.
I mean, out of nowhere, he's got 7 picks this year.
Yeah, he's having a Pro Bowl year. He's got a knack for finding the ball, and there's guys that do that. And Perry Fuel, the defensive coordinator, he's very innovative in what they try to do coverage-wise and create some looks that can cause you issues. And we've got to be on top of them. We've got to make sure that our quarterback, receivers, and offensive line, in terms of calling out protections and adjusting our routes, are all seen it the same way.
I remember when Perry was the interim in Buffalo, and we talked at one point about kind of his path to coaching, your path to coaching, things like that. It's interesting to see when he went to work for the Giants, a lot was expected. and they've delivered on that side of the ball, much like Kevin Gilbride as the offensive coordinator, I guess.
Yes, you know, Perry's done a nice job. Coach Gilbride, longtime offensive mm-hmm. coordinator. He might be the most tenured offensive coordinator. He's been in this league a long time.
He may have coached Arch.
He may have.
I don't think he did. No. he wouldn't be still in the league if he'd coached him.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, you know, when you talk about Perry's path, I can remember Perry, coaching against him in the OVC.
Yeah.
Perry's done it, you know. Perry's done it at all levels, and he's done it very, very well. And you know, Coach Gilbride has been a head coach in the NFL. He has a very good perspective of it, and his expertise is working with quarterbacks, and he's working with one of the best ones in Eli Manning.
Smitty, you guys do such a good job of taking each weekend and making it its own entity. This one will be ramped up a little bit from a Giant perspective. They are essentially in the playoffs right now, knowing how closely the two teams are behind them in their division, knowing that they haven't fought themselves to a good enough record where all they have to do is kind of maintain pace and they'll be in. So they're still fighting for their playoff lives. That being said, that will be kind of the flavor I would assume they'll bring to the table, a playoff caliber style type game. Your team has always been a team that seems to rise to whatever occasion is there. Is that something you mentioned to the team as you get ready for this week?
Well, I think that our guys are very aware of the different scenarios that are out there for our team and for their team. And I think it's going to be a very fun afternoon for everybody involved. I think it's two really good football mm-hmm. teams that are going to be competing against one another, and I think our fans ought to be excited about seeing the ball game. And like always, we're gonna need them. We're gonna need them in the stands early. I know it's easy to get them there in night games for opening kickoff, but let's get that tailgating done early, get the meals served, and let's get in there and let's make this thing a loud place where Eli and that offense has a tough time communicating. Much like we had against the Saints, we need at least two or three procedural penalties that we can directly contribute to the fans.
All right, that's Falcon head coach Mike Smith. Always appreciate your time. Good luck getting ready this week.
All right, thank you.
Here's Newton, first down, pumps. Now looks under duress and will not get away. And then a flag. No flag as he is called for an incomplete pass.
Quarterback was sacked. His progress was being driven back. Second down. It was a sack.
It is a sack by Vance Walker.
That's our SunTrust Bank defensive shining play of the game. Take the next step toward financial well-being. SunTrust, how can we help you shine today? Back at Flowery Branch, the Mike Smith Coach's Show on a Monday, presented by Superior Plumbing with Dave Archer, Wes Durham, and Jonathan Babineau, coming up in just a moment in our Buckhead Beef and Spa Saddell Player Spotlight. Don't forget, Jonathan Babineau gets a Buckhead Beef gift certificate so he can enjoy the freshest, finest, most tender steaks, chops, and more. From Atlanta's own Buckhead Beef, it's the best there is, and we're also giving him a Big Burgundy Spa Saddell gift certificate just in time for the holidays. Make sure to give this to the lady in your life so she can enjoy Spa Saddell's new organic soy hot candle wax massage.
Yeah. A lot of people are going that route now, Wes. The
really?
Whole candle wax thing, yeah.
Soy hot candle wax?
Yeah, it's kind of a William Dafoe Madonna type thing. But, yeah,
is
a lot of
right?
people are going that route.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Great to have Spa Saddell back on board for the Monday Mike Smith Show, presented by Superior Plumbing, just in time for the holidays here in the month of December.
Sure, absolutely.
Falcons and Giants on Sunday at 1 o'clock, and we'll talk to Babineau about it coming up. In fact, the USS is charting into port here right now.
This takes three tugboats to get him
yeah,
into,
we gotta,
into harbor.
Well,
right
we got to get the got to get the carrier in here. Here he comes, sounding the horn. Interesting, Dave, and certainly from a player's perspective, here comes the Super Bowl champs and all that entails, and Atlanta with the challenge coming off the disappointing loss yesterday. JB, how you doing, boss?
I'm doing good.
Good.
How about yourself?
Thanks for the time. I know you got a lot going on. We're going to talk football today. We're also going to talk about some of the stuff you've been doing in the community, because I know you've been involved here with some things that have been important to you
mm-hmm.
With kids and little guys and little girls that need some help along the way as well. So we'll get to that before we're done. But, man, you've been a long time. Dave and I were talking about it a couple weeks ago. You've been playing a long time now, hadn't you?
8 years?
I know.
8 years.
Maybe that's not long, but you've been around as long as we've been around.
Yeah. Been through it all, you know, good and the bad.
Yesterday tough?
It was, especially to a division opponent. You know, I don't think we came to play yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, we let ourselves down, our teammates, coaches, whole organization, especially our fans. You know, that was unacceptable of us, and hopefully we could turn things around and get ready for New York this week.
Babs, do you sense something like that when you get out there? Like we said, we've been around 8 years now, and this isn't your first rodeo. So do you sense when a team doesn't seem to quite have it, and what do you do? I mean, from a leadership standpoint, what do you try to do to get it going the other direction?
Well, you just try to encourage guys when we're out there, you know, get in tune to the game, be excited about the game. You know, whether if it's a three-yard game, you make a tackle, you know, get excited about it. You know, that's what gains momentum, and I guess that's what keeps it keep the game in your favor and knowing that, you know, you got the game under control.
Well, and then part of it is you get chip blocked as you're trying to rush off the edge. A guy hits a shot into your ribs and gets you off the field. So a guy that's trying to influence, you can't influence the game from the sideline, I would guess.
Yeah, I could barely breathe yesterday. Yeah. You know, that's part of the game. You know, somebody else got to step up and make plays, and obviously we didn't do that yesterday. So good thing is it's not the playoffs. We get to flush it down the toilet and get ready for New York, which will be a great challenge for us this week.
We talked to Smitty about this, Babs, from the familiarity standpoint. They're not in the division. You don't see them every year.
Right.
But yet you played them in the playoffs last year.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that comes into play this week? The way the game went, the way the game was played, that motivation alone, and the fact that you're coming off a tough loss yesterday in Charlotte.
Well, I guarantee the guys will be ready this week. You know, that's not even a question. You know, New York brings a great challenge into the Dome this weekend, and, you know, we're looking forward to it. You know, obviously we didn't do our best last year when we were up there in the playoffs, and, you know, long story short, they were the Super Bowl champs. So they're coming in the building this Sunday, and they're still all the champs until somebody wins it this year. So, you know, it's going to be a playoff atmosphere in the Dome. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm excited about the challenge and see where we're at as a team.
It's our player spotlight. Jonathan Babineau here with Wes Durham and Dave Archer on Sports Radio 790 Zone, the Mike Smith Show. Babs, different type of quarterback now coming in. How difficult was it to shift gears from what Breeze does and his ability to kind of move around the pocket, but really not run, but move and make people miss, to this guy you just played this weekend who had a huge day, he had a monster day, to now you shift gears back to an Eli Manning that's probably moves less than what Breeze moved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how hard is that week in and week out to make that change?
You know, it's hard, but that's the great thing about being challenged week in and week out. You know, we always face something different. No two teams are alike. Cam is a great quarterback. Whenever he feels the need to run the ball, he will do so and make great plays for his team. Then you got somebody like Drew Breeze and Eli Manning who won Super Bowls in the last few years and know what it takes to extend plays even in the pocket and still throw the ball downfield and be accurate with their throws. So, you know, this is going to be a big week for us. You know, we're going to have to put pressure on that guy and make sure we get him off the spot and harass him all day.
We talked about you being one of the veteran guys. I know 8 years is not a long time, but you're firmly a veteran guy now. Is eight a veteran guy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Just checking.
Shoot four is a veteran guy.
When this is and I've told people this in interviews I've done nationally and even regionally a little bit. It's a different locker room for you guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got – if you break up a team, you got a third of the guys, what, just less than 3 or 4 years in the league. Then
right.
you got the middle group, which you would fall into. Then you got that group that's just over 30. Not many of them, but a few.
Mm-hmm.
Is this really good chemistry in this locker room? Because it seems that's the one thing that helps you guys come back from games like yesterday, is that you rally to each other as much as you rally to is the team concept or things like that.
I think we, you know, we gel together as men, as brothers, as teammates in the locker room. You know, I think we care for one another. We want the best for one another. Obviously, we know we didn't play good yesterday. So
sure.
I think the leaders should be stepping up this week and making sure everybody's on the same page and we're doing the necessary things to get ourselves ready to have a fast start on Sunday and doing the necessary things to win.
Even as poorly as the game went yesterday for you guys, Bab, both offensively and defensively, having a tough time getting off the field. The offense couldn't stay on the field on third down.
Mm-hmm.
But when you got down to the red zone, you guys, there was a familiar feel to it. You found a way to rise up and force field goals to hopefully the offense get their ship righted a little bit. What's going on in the red zone that you guys have been so good down in that area?
It just takes a lot of focus. You know, the field is shortened, and, you know, there's only a few plays that they like to do down in the area, you know, when you only have a chance to have three plays in order to score. But, you know, guys are in tune to what offenses are doing, and, you know, we're making sure that we don't give up the easy points. But, you know, it's all part of the game. We gave a lot of explosions yesterday, especially for touchdowns. That's what really hurt us yesterday. So we got to eliminate those explosive plays and making sure that we are keen on the necessary things we need to do to get off the field on third down.
Jonathan Babineau with us in our Buckhead Beef Spotsdale Player Spotlight this week. The Mike Smith Show presented by Superior Plumbing with Dave Archer, West Durham, live at Flowery Branch up until the top of the hour. When you start looking at the defensive playing personality this year, what did Mike Nolan bring to the table here? What changed? I mean, we talked to some guys earlier in the year, and it was a lot different and things like that, but now that you're into the season, What has he done here? Because obviously there has been a spark, and if I don't know if I want to call it a renovation, reconstruction, whatever, but it was clearly a different message and a different attitude than before.
Well, he just brought in the attitude of we're going to do things right, and we're going to have fun doing it. He always put a challenge to us week in and week out as far as doing different things necessary to win the game. And thus far during the season, you know, we have done a great job except yesterday. So. Mm-hmm. We just got to continue to believe in him as he believes in us to make plays. And, you know, that's the only way we're going to continue to get better and move forward.
You guys do have fun, don't you?
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, well, as it turns out, Babs, you're being used all over the field now. You're inside at defensive tackle and now sliding outside. Talk about the difference between those two as you have to make your shift mentally from playing the three technique down, so you're playing the edge.
Well, you know, got me out there on the end, you know, mostly first and second downs, you know. Definitely want to have the best guys out there to stop the run and be able to get us in great positions on third down. And then that's when I get to go back inside. I get rewarded when I go back inside. So I feel great when I'm back inside. I get to do what I always do inside. So, you know, it's almost like, you know, I gotta do the dirty work to get back to having, you know, a great time back inside. But, you know, it's all part of me not being selfish as far as to my teammates and as far as this team. I just want to, you know, be out there and help the team in any way I can.
When's the last time prior to this year you lined up at defensive end?
05.
Yeah,
it was rookie year.
Yeah, more usually
started,
not that.
Started about six games. So, yeah, it's been a while.
Before that, college?
Yeah, college. I would say sophomore year.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, it's been some years in between.
Is it a whole different deal?
It is. I would say that you're farther away from the quarterback than being inside. You know, it's a different angle. You're seeing things different. I would say more out of your inside than being inside. You can see out of both eyes because he's right there in front of you. So it's just small adjustments. You know, I've just been getting used to, and you know, I've been trying to get in a good mode to where I'm just be like Abe one day on the
there you go
out there on pass rush, you know.
I love that.
Where do you get held more, outside or inside?
I would say inside.
Do you really?
Well, you got guys on both sides holding you.
Yeah,
and he's getting double teamed most of the time. What
they never call pass, it, do they, Babs? Inside, they
no,
never call it.
No
pass rush. Not to discount what the edge guys do, because there's the glamour guys getting a little extra jack in their check every week because they get to come off the edge and put the quarterback on the ground. More important for interior push or edge rush?
I would say both. It works hand in hand. If you got a good edge rush and no push up the middle, I mean, he's going to do like Drew Brees all day and just step up and launch the ball downfield, or have even a bigger hole to even look down the field. It'd be more like a skelly drill out there. So he definitely got to have push in his face and make sure that he's not getting great looks down the field.
Jonathan Babineau with us in our Buckhead Beef Spotsdale Player Spotlight. Stay tuned. Don't forget you can text Babs a question, 77530, our U.S. Auto Sales You Tell Us text line. We'll cover that and a lot more ground. By the way, y'all have done really nice here in the same room with each other. Iowa and Iowa State, you guys have done well.
Who won the hoops game?
Oh, here we go. We're going to get to basketball.
basketball.
Talking about basketball games.
Iowa in Iowa? We talking about basketball in Iowa?
Iowa State.
Iowa State and Iowa.
We got a little hoop squad at Iowa State. Y'all don't know about
see,
that.
See, I was keeping the game out of it for you, Jonathan. I was keeping the game out of it.
We'll see what happens when wrestling come around.
Wrestling.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about collegiate wrestling.
Yeah.
If we're going to talk about basketball, we talk about wrestling.
His school and my school are the only two that can talk about it. I know that.
Because everybody else has quit doing it. We'll take a break, get to your text question and more with the USS Babineau after this on 790 The Zone.
Carolina with a four-man front. They bring four. Ryan's going to throw inside. This is Julio. Keeps his feet at the five. And Jones scores the Atlanta touchdown. Nakamura is shaken up on the play. And Julio Jones catches his seventh touchdown pass of the year.
Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile now and experience football on Verizon 4G LTE. NFL Mobile is built to bring you the game.
Back with Dave Archer, Wes Durham, our Buckhead Beast Bossadel Player Spotlight with Jonathan Babineau. Our U.S. Auto Sales text question comes from the 404. What's your favorite steak and favorite place to eat in Atlanta? Now, eight-year guy, you got favorite places, right?
I do, but it's hard to choose from.
It's exactly the problem, isn't it?
So much good food out there. Man.
Beef in Atlanta different than beef in Texas?
Got some similarities.
Yeah?
Yeah. But it's a lot more out there, though.
In Texas?
A lot more
yeah.
to choose from.
Yeah, in Texas? Yeah,
oh, yeah.
I bet so.
Oh,
little bigger area.
Yeah.
What? Okay, so if you're going to go to eat tonight, let's go to eat. Where are you going to go?
To get full or just to?
Yeah, just to get full. You're going to load up. You don't have to practice tomorrow. You're going to.
I kind of like Raised on the River.
Okay. Yeah, that's nice.
Nice.
Good spot.
Yeah, not bad.
This is you're here year-round just about, right?
Just about.
Yeah. I mean, this is when you're 8 years in, it takes on a little bit more ownership than when you're 2-3 years in, doesn't it?
Then it does.
Yeah, and that's certainly reflected in what you're doing in the community. I mean, I know you're affiliated with United Way through the Falcon organization, but we were talking during the break. The Babineau Family Foundation's up and running. You're doing unbelievable things there. It's pretty important to you. I mean, that's readily evident.
Yeah, definitely. Just having the opportunity to work with so many different people on so many different levels and being interactive with my community and letting them know that, you know, I'm backing them up as much as they back me up. And what I try to do is try to make a difference if it's just one child. You know, I try to be a mentor to so many, but if I can get one to follow me, that'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm going to continue to what I do throughout the community and make sure my presence is felt.
Babs, how much do you pay attention to the other guys and what the other guys are doing, whether it's Chris Owens or Corey Peters, yourself? There's a lot of guys on this team, and I've talked about it all the time. I think that to be Atlanta Falcon in your DNA has to have community service attached to it. I think all you guys seem to do a phenomenal job. How much do you pay attention to what other guys are doing?
I think every week, you know, we always get in the first team meeting of the week that Smitty brings up everybody that was active in the community on Tuesday, especially our days off is – you know, the most time we get to be out in the community, and he always put up a list of guys who was out on that Tuesday and acknowledge them and letting them know that they're very appreciative of being felt in the community and the things that we do week in and week out. You know, it's you always see a couple of guys up there more than once, so, you know, guys are being active and wanting to do things around the community, and I think it's a good thing. I think we're probably the only team in the league that does things like that for their community. So, you know, it's a plus for this organization and what Mr. Blank stands for.
Well, and that's the other thing, too. Dave's mentioned it time and time again. It starts at the top.
I mean,
it's important to him. You were drafted into this organization.
Yep.
Some guys have come here via free agency.
Mm-hmm.
They want to come here for different reasons, opportunity to play, maybe expand their career, those kinds of things.
Yep.
But that's also a big part of it, is it not?
Definitely. First thing you're going to know is that you're going to be a part of this community, no matter if you want to or not. You know, Mr. Blank is very big in this community, and he wants to make sure that every organization or every business that he has to be involved in the community in some way.
Falcons defensive tackle Jonathan Babineau here on the Player Spotlight. Head coach Mike Smith Show here on Sports Radio 790 The Zone. Wes Durham, Dave Archer. Babs, when you get ready for this one, coming off of, again, this is a team that's got a number of veteran players on it. So yesterday's game is not the first time you've experienced some disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any, does anything need to be said? Does anything, you just go about your business when you guys check in on Wednesday and go to work, you get ready for the Giants. Has anything happened? Is you, Abraham, Asante Samuel, Mike Peterson, the veterans on the defensive side of the football, say anything?
I don't think nothing needs to be said. I think everybody knows up front what we need to do starting Wednesday to get prepared for the Giants on Sunday. If we see somebody dragging, we're definitely going to tell them. Mm. You know, it, you know, now is the time. You know, it's a big one for us. It's this one. Probably one of the biggest games before we go into the playoffs. So, you know, we have to bring it. We never know. We might see this team in the playoffs again. So, yeah. You know, we have to be ready. Like I said, we didn't play our best last year in the playoffs. And, you know, we got what we deserve. So, you know, Sunday we need to go out there and perform well and do the necessary things to win.
Is this a different part of the season every year, regardless of the overall record, the final four ball games, the fourth quarter, as Smitty calls it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a different part of the season than the other three?
As always. You know, this is what teams be fighting to get in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're already there, but we want to make sure that we're the number one seed when we get there and totally have control of what's going on throughout the playoffs, and this one will be no different. This is the next game for us. This is most important. You know, I'm looking forward to the challenge. I can't wait to get out there on Sunday and get after those guys.
The mindset, December mindset, has there been any adjustment in what you guys have thought about this season as opposed to seasons past? Obviously had three trip-ups in the postseason. Is there any adjustment in your mind or any other players' minds as to how you handle December before you get to January?
Not at all. We just have to continue to play consistent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't slack off. We can't take our foot off the gas no matter who we're playing. We have to be ready at all times. You know, it's you know, what you put out there on film is your DNA. And, you know, yesterday that definitely wasn't us. I don't know who that was. Hopefully I wish every team out there can erase the film and look back at the other games that we played throughout the season. But, you know, it is what it is. We know those guys are going to be ready. They played a great game against New Orleans last night. You know, we're going to have our A game to beat those guys.
Do you buy in to the slap-in-the-face wake-up call scenario? I heard Tony talking a little bit about it after the game. Hey, maybe this is a wake-up call for us or whatever. Do you buy into that at all this late in the season? Did you a little slap in the face at the right time maybe is just exactly what you needed?
Well, personally, for me, no. I'm always ready. No matter who we're playing, I'm always going to be ready. But as far as the team, maybe it was. You know, maybe it was just a realization of where we're at, and we can't just go out there and just expect to win. You know, we have to earn it. So, you know, I think from here on out, we have to know that everything that we do from here on out has to be earned.
Mm-hmm.
in order to get to where we want to be at the end of the season.
Well, you said it earlier. They're the Super Bowl champs until somebody else is.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
There's something to be said for that. I mean, it is the reality of what the season is.
Well,
right?
you're gonna have a flavor in the building. You mentioned it, Babs. There's gonna be a flavor in the building, mm-hmm. that's gonna have a playoff flavor. They're certainly fighting for their lives. You've got some things, mm-hmm. you guys still want to accomplish in the regular season.
Exactly.
Has a chance to be a pretty good matchup.
It will be.
Thanks as always, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me.